further out and Dalton and Kittern and on out and around the world. How do we respond to the nudge? Or I believe when I refer to the nudge, the Holy Spirit's prompting. How do I confirm that? I usually find these nudges as moments of taking me out of my comfort zone. This passage to me and you right here where we are at, this is talking to you and me right here. It took me a little getting used to this idea this week as I thought and think of myself as a missionary. You see, when I was first approached about sharing, I immediately thought about all those others I know, and I began to think about whose journey I could share with you about. But me, that didn't seem right and seemed a little uncomfortable. But I will proceed to share a little bit more about my own call and nudge and how that is and what that may look like for each of us. Being faithful requires me to share a little about the journey that my wife Beverly and I have had and are continuing on. Growing up as number 5 of 7 boys in a farm near Dalton, I later learned that the farm was not what my father enjoyed, but it served a wonderful setting to raise a family and keep boys busy. When I was not working on the farm, I could be found helping my father in the shop or mother with household chores. Dad found purpose and fulfillment building farm equipment to use on the farm and custom work as well. Before the service, I realized that Phil and I grew up side by side. I used to swim in their old farm pond, but I think Phil was not yet around. I had left the area when I graduated, but his older brothers I would have known, and his parents, of course, well. In addition, my parents were strong advocates for volunteering and walking with others less fortunate. In the 60s, you could find our family volunteering with MDS, cleaning up after tornado, flood, helping with the meat canning, or help revitalize housing in inner city Akron or St. Louis. During several summers, we spent time in Northwest Ontario operating a sawmill and helping there with some of the Native Americans. I share this to give you a sense of surrounding for which helped shape my worldview. I accepted Jesus as Lord when I was 16. This started me on the journey of searching what it meant to be faithful to the call, the nudge to be salt and light in Jerusalem, here in Dalton, Ohio. Wherever I was, it was my Jerusalem. You see, Jesus worked right where you are at, Jerusalem, and yes, a little farther beyond. Beverly Horst and I were married the summer of 1977, 7 months after I had returned from an assignment with MCC in Chad, North Africa. For 32 months, I had witnessed the cruelties of famine, war, and drought. Within weeks of returning home, I attended Rosedale Bible Institution for a 6-week study just to be recharged and refreshed in the Word. This was a really good time of recharging and nurturing because I was drained. Reentry was tough. I struggled on whether to live here or go back to Africa. In addition, the letters I had written to Bev were not kind to the harsh realities in which I had served. For me, I had witnessed the struggles of life and death daily. They were so great. That summer, as we married, we had a strong sense of being a visible witness by serving in this part of the globe. Leading up to our marriage and into early months, we talked about what it was to be stewards. What did this look like? We both had jobs, Bev as an RN in the hospital and I working for Gerber Feed. What did stewardship look like? Our time, our talents, our resources, all of those. All was the Lord's, not just a tenth. Bev appreciated and supported this process. We were on a journey with God's resources, and how were we to care for them? We wanted to honor God and recognize that all that we had, time, talents, finances, were the Lord's. All were gifts, and we were caretakers of them. We were stewards. As young newlyweds, we started saying, okay, let's start with 10%. As the weeks went to months, it seemed like there was never enough to go around to honor this desire to give to the church. It was hard. It seemed that there was never any extra at the end of the month. After 6 months of marriage, we decided to pay the extra charges and set up a separate checking account. That was a little hard for me, But in the end, I think the Lord benefited. Because back then, we didn't have free checking. We attended Chestnut Ridge, which was part of Virginia Mennonite Conference at that time. In 1980, while attending a conference in Virginia, we were challenged all to give 10 plus 1. We said yes. This fits what we believed and had found so hard to implement. 10% was a guide, a starter, but what was the Lord asking? So that began a journey for us of adding at least 1% each year over the next 15 years. These were years with a young family as well as a young business. Many times my paychecks were held in a drawer at work to make sure that we had enough funds to pay the employees. Prime rate hit 22%. Product liability insurance went through the roof and much more. We came through those years. Over the next 8 years, we added 6 children to our family. Clyde came to live with us in 1979, and 3 years later, we were able to adopt him at the age of 10. Landon was born to us in 1980, and Liddell in 84. Then in 1988, Maria, Eric, and Paul joined us. They were ages 7, 10, and 13. We adopted them from Guatemala. At times, I wondered how we could keep up this pace of giving. I struggled at times thinking that maybe, just maybe, this was overkill. But each year as we look back, we saw God's provision. In 1988, my brothers and I sold the tractor company to a British firm. I stayed on for 6 years heading up sales and marketing of the Steiner line. This did require extensive traveling while at the same time raising a growing family. And in 1994, I transitioned to the Dutch Corporation, now known as the Dutchman Hospitality Group, and served as their executive vice president for 10 years. It was a family business in Walnut Creek, Ohio, and the Dutchman Hospitality has around 1,200 employees, 600 part-time, 600 full-time, and 16 locations, and you would know them as the Dear Dutchmans and the Carlisleians. Good years, intense years, but I appreciated those years in leadership. During the late 80s and 90s, our family made several trips to Guatemala, birthplace of our sons Paul, Eric, and Maria. We connected and helped in small ways with the church and mission of that region. And it was there that we learned about SEMEA, the Latin American Anabaptist Seminary. And when Thomas advised me that this morning you $500 of your offering would be going to a choice of mine, I chose SEMEA. And by the way, there are brochures out on the table if you want to know a little bit more about that. But it's an institution that has been working very hard. Collectively, 10 different Anabaptist organizations across Central America came together in 1974 to form SEMEA. And their purpose was to raise up teachers and prepare teachers or pastors in the rural areas. And so their education is primarily by extension, but they offer basic high school diploma in Bible study, also a college diploma. And some of you may know it. They have other programs, CASAS, Central American Studies Abroad, and that's one of the fundraisers. So that's one of the institutions that we got involved in during that time. I share that to highlight a transition that I'm going into just momentarily here, but that's where we've chosen to have the offering go to today. My work at Dutchman's was fulfilling, and I was able to give leadership to a growing, successful company. During this time, Beverly was also asking questions. What next? In the mid-90s, she took the big plunge to go to Ashland Seminary to become a counselor. After 30 years of being gone from the classroom, she chose this. This is where we connected with Twyla Zimmerly. Looking for a supervisor as Bev volunteered her counseling to the church, I learned of Twyla's story of her call, her nudge, in the early 80s to leave a good, secure job in the state and work and start Crown Center for Counseling. By her faithfulness and vision and others later, the ministry continues today known as Spring Haven. On behalf of the board, I want to say thank you to Crown Hill for what you've done for Crown Center for Counseling and Spring Haven by allowing your facilities. I can almost get emotional sometimes as I think about your contribution over the years towards that arena. Thank you in the birthing of this industry. About 2000 and 2001, I was having this nudge, sensing God asking me to refocus my interests with the Arab-Muslim world. It was as if for her season, mission focus was as Latin America while my children were growing up. That was okay, but now he kept pulling me, nudging me to the Arab Muslim world. In February of 2002, I did a short-term trip to East Africa as part of a discernment because I had struggled with heat, sun, and that type of weather when I lived there in 74, 75, 76. It was through that he showed me what some of my issues were and was able to work through it. In May of 2002, my home congregation, Kidder Mennonite, studied the 40 Days book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. This really started the wheels in motion for me, and I could not shake the sense of call to step out. Over the next 2 years, the focus and the vision of what this might look like started to take shape. This was right after 9/11. The fervor of resistance to the Arab Muslim world and these people groups in my community and in our nation was extreme. I personally knew these people from my years in the 70s and only had a sense of warmth for them. But having had experiences in agriculture, manufacturing, hospitality, and the business and organizational development, the impression that kept coming to me was to offer these skills to the church as a volunteer, walking with persons that are doing business's mission, in sharing and praying with my wife Beverly and asking others also to pray. The nudge continued and started to solidify. At that time, I did not find any models of what that would look like. Two big fears really weighed on me: money and health insurance. Could we afford for me to leave a good job at the age of 50, at the prime of my earnings, to do volunteer work? Did we have enough reserves for retirement? I plan to continue to do a little farming. Would that contribute enough? And I think farmers can kind of know that answer. It's tough. Health insurance. I had overseen those plans for 20-plus years and knew the chaos that the system was in. How could Bev and I stay insured as self-payees? In the spring of 2003, several things happened that continue to confirm and make this move. It seemed like a natural progression for me to exit the business world and enter a new chapter. As Bev and I continued the journey, many times I needed to look back at the nudges and the God moments as confirmation. From time to time, I take a moment to journal of those God moments that happened in my day, and I hang on to those when it's down and when it's hard and when it's tough. I had to hang on to them as we stepped into this uncharted waters. I completed my work with Dutchman's in May of 2004. For the remainder of 2004, I took several small personal retreats as well as continued to farm. My son Liddell had built up the farming operation while in high school and college, and I offered my services to various church organizations, walking with people among hard-to-reach people groups. I remember wondering during Christmas of 2004, was this a mistake? When people ask, "What are you doing?" I shared, but nothing was gelling, and I wondered. Just to highlight a few of the journeys since 2004, in January 6th of 2005, MCC called and wondered if I would go to Indonesia to help assess the tsunami and implement the long-term response. This was not exactly what I thought about, but it seemed right. And so the end of January, I went to Banda Aceh, Indonesia, for 90 days, and that's what I did. During my time there at the UN, they averaged over 500 bodies being uncovered every day in what was a city where everybody had a story. Everybody had a journey. Everybody had a loss. And so that was the experience that I went through at that time. And the Lord sustained me as well as many others in that time. Backing up just a little bit, in 2000, Twyla had given me the administration of Crown Center for Counseling in exchange to give my wife supervision. Now, I was thrust into bringing Crown Center for Counseling to a new level, something I had never dreamed of doing, nor did I have a particular skill set or interest. But I did have a passion for opportunities and options in the professional health services. As a family, we needed and used a lot of these types of services in the 80s and 90s. And so with that nudge or with that thrust, whatever you want to call it, it took me into another uncomfortable stage. And yet, when I look back, there was tough sledding. Keith knows about those. He spent times with me on the board. Again, that was another one of those nudges. In the fall of 2006, on a visit to Montenegro and Kosovo for Virginia Mennonite Missions, a milk collection center was processed, or was started. Today, it receives milk from 100-plus small farmers. They have 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 cows. It reminds me of what it must have been like here 80 years ago when everybody had a few cows to milk. Milk is processed and bottled, as well as the surplus is shipped off to a larger producer. $500,000 is injected into this community each year, creating employment for 8 people and allowing small households an additional income of $250 to $400 a month in a region that has over 50% unemployment. There, VMM and EMM work hand-in-hand in that community, and that's just an extension of the work. I think we'll go to the next slide. I have a slide up there, or we'll have. Back up one, if you may. Okay, I'm just going to mention this couple. I'll leave their names off for the moment, but they are a couple that I have had the opportunity to work with for 7-8 years. They were refugees out of Southeast Asia. They met in a refugee camp in Thailand. And then they came to Canada and were citizens, got their citizenship in Canada. In 2008, I was asked by MMN, to travel with them, to travel with him back to his homeland. And in that homeland, the question was, what can I do vocationally here? We want to go back home. What I didn't fully understand then, and I do more now today, is when you are a refugee and you leave a country for political reasons, and you go back to that country, you're on your own because your adopted country will not protect you. In other words, if, in this case, Canada would not go to bat for them if they were imprisoned or whatever. The country of Laos is where they wanted to go back to, and this last year they chose to go back. Their children are raised. He said, when our kids are out of high school, out of college, we want to go home. They're in a very difficult situation. And people there do not understand at all why you would leave the comforts of North America to go back and live in an impoverished region of that part of the world. But God has been faithful. He is with them. And I would just ask you to pray for this couple. I can give you more information about them, but I do travel with them from time to time. In fact, I will be with them in November for 2 weeks. The next couple, Kosti and Ori Zagra, they are in southern Albania. Kosti and Ori are American citizens. They came to this country in their youth as part of the lottery system. Our government does offer visas to certain countries, a few, and if you're lucky enough to get them, you get them. They got it. They came here. He went to college. He worked for Turkey Hill in the processing, the milk processing industry in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And they came to faith later in their college years, and they had a real burden to go back home to that dark out place of Albania. So last year they went back. They listened to the nudge. It's not easy, but pray for Kosti and Ori and their family as they have a bottling company. They make cheese, they make yogurt, and it's a business's mission opportunity that was set up by a group of business people who have invested in it with not expecting big returns for a number of years, but it started. And again, the question is, why would you come back? Why would you come here? The next couple you know, but you may not recognize them. If any of you work at MCC Connections, anybody work at MCC Connections? Anyhow, Gladys Geyser is there with her husband, Al. They spent went in the late 90s to Afghanistan, and they worked there as a business of his mission. And I would just say it was a privilege to be with them and experience what they did and what they worked at. And their ministry still goes on today in a very troubled and difficult region. Al was killed here 3 years ago in his work there. But I believe that I know he left the testimony. I was able to witness that. The next slide. This is Al on the left. We were up high in the hills, up in the mountains. Some of the tribal leaders meeting him, they were so happy to see him. As he worked with hydroelectric irrigation and turbines to supply electric to the villages, which then gave them access to TV, and it gave them access to radios and a lot of other things. The next one. See this expression of the gentleman on the right? I was in it with him in the marketplace in Kabul, and this guy came up to him and says, "Al, how you doing? You remember me?" And Al says, "I don't." He says, 6 years ago you did this, this, and this for my family in my village." And there's just a great warmth and a great appreciation. Again, a man that, and a woman that made a difference and an impact. And the price, we don't always know what that will be. But that's not our job, that's not our worry, and that's not our responsibility. We're to be faithful in what God calls us to. So over the last 11 years, it's been challenging, it's been grueling at times, but it's also been rewarding. In closing, may you experience understanding, grace, and discernment as you are faithful with what the Lord has entrusted to you, your time, your talents, your resources. May you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He nudges you in the journey of life. Again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses here in Rittman, Ohio, and to Holmes County, and then a little farther on, and then the rest of the world. That's our challenge, and that's our call. You and I are here in Jerusalem, right here. This is where we're planted, and we're to bloom. And we have, my family has this heritage principle that we attribute to my father, whether it was exactly his words, but this was a general concept that I want to leave with you. This is the beginning of a new day. You have been given this day to use as you will. You can waste it or use it for good. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever. In its place is something that you have left behind. Let it be something good. May God bless you, and again, thank you for allowing me to share. And may you be, go from here. Thank you.